Well, in our scripture reading this morning, you heard that while Jesus was hanging on the cross in pain, about to die, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them." Now, Jesus could have prayed for anything. He could have prayed for relief from the pain. He could have prayed for the executioners to stop. He could have prayed for it all to end. But no, Jesus prayed, "Forgive them," a prayer of unmatched mercy and love. Forgive the angry mob that shouted, "Crucify him." Forgive Pilate, who washed his hands of ordering the execution. Forgive the soldiers who mocked him, who spit on him and beat him and put the cross on his back. Forgive them. Wow. Well, Jesus' last words were certainly not for himself, were they? They were for others. Now, the really important part for us today is this. Jesus wasn't praying just for them. When Jesus prayed, "Forgive them," he was praying for all. Jesus was praying for us, too. He was putting into practice what he taught in the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said, "Love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus, the persecuted, prayed for his persecutors. And you see, Jesus died for all of us. You and I made the cross necessary. We are part of the story because our sins were part of the weight on that cross. And if Jesus can forgive Pilate, who condemned him, forgive the crowd yelling at him, forgive the soldiers who treated him with such violence and nailed him to that cross, he will forgive us too. And we are called as Christians to be like Christ, to follow Jesus. Jesus even taught us about forgiveness in the prayer he taught us to say, the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive them. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that left to our own strength, that would be impossible. That Jesus is asking us to do something that is extremely difficult and not possible without him. Forgiveness is hard work. It's not easy. But think about Jesus when he was hanging on the cross, suffering. That wouldn't have been easy either. Yet he showed us how to forgive. He gave us the answer. He was talking to God. He said, "Father, forgive them." He's giving it all over to God. Forgiveness is in the form of prayer to God. Jesus is telling us that prayer and forgiveness go hand in hand. So when we reach that point, when we feel we just can't forgive, guess what we are capable of? We're capable of prayer. We're capable of asking God to forgive others through us, asking God for the strength and the courage to forgive others ourselves. Talking to God is the answer. It's important that we keep a strong relationship with God. And the good news is that it doesn't matter where we are. God is always with us. Like I said, it is hard. Because in our world today, forgiveness doesn't come naturally. Getting even comes naturally. We see a lot of sadness in this life from willingness to forgive. Whether a family member starts an argument, a child throws a fit, a friend isn't there during a time of need, it's important to remember that no matter what someone has done, God believes that they are worthy of forgiveness. God forgives all, and God asks us to do the same. That's why it's important for us to acquire an attitude of forgiveness. And it's not just simply a one-time act of forgiveness. The Bible tells us this. Remember Peter in Matthew 18? He says, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? And Jesus answers, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Forgive them." It's an always thing, my friends, and it's always the right thing to do. One of the most powerful stories of forgiveness is a well-known story about Corrie ten Boom. Now, maybe you have, maybe you haven't heard of Corrie's story, but I want to share it with you this morning. You see, in World War II, she was arrested by the Nazis, along with the rest of her family, for hiding Jews in their home during the Holocaust. She was imprisoned and sent to a concentration camp along with her family, including her beloved sister, Betsy. Well, during their captivity, the two sisters did what they could to help others. And at night, after their long and torturous day of work, the two women would hold worship services in the women's barracks, quietly, of course. The two sisters kept up these nightly services for months, until one day, Betsy died. She was killed, and Corrie was devastated. And it was amazing that 15 days later, just 15 days later, Corrie was released. Later, it was determined that she was released in error. And to correct that error, all the rest of the women and all of her family members in that camp were sent to the gas chamber. Can you imagine how she must have felt? Shattered, guilty, horrified. Well, later, Corrie established a post-war home for other camp survivors, trying to recover from the horrors that they had escaped, dealing with the psychological scars left by the Nazi occupation. Corrie traveled widely as a missionary, preaching God's forgiveness and the need for reconciliation. Forgive them. Then one day she was tested. You see, after a speech that she gave in a church in Germany, a man came up to her. And that man said, "You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. I was a guard there." And he continued to say, "But since that time, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things that I did there. But I'd like to hear it from your lips as well." "Fräulein," he said, and his hands came out, "will you forgive me?" Now think about this, friends. Corrie's entire family, including her beloved sister, died in that place. Could this man erase their terrible deaths simply by asking for forgiveness? She said that it couldn't have been too many seconds that he stood there with his hand held out, but to her it seemed like hours as she wrestled with the most difficult question she had ever been asked, and probably one of the hardest things she had ever had to do. And still she stood there, with coldness clutching at her heart. And she continued, "Jesus, help me." She prayed silently, "I lift my hand. I can do that much, but Jesus, please, please supply that feeling." And so woodenly, mechanically, she thrust her hand into the one outstretched to her. "I forgive you, brother," she cried, "with all of my heart." And for a long moment, they grasped each other's hands. The former guard, the former prisoner, together. Corey said, "I have never known God's love so intensely as I did then." Isn't that amazing? That, my friends, is truly God's grace. It's important that we pray for forgiveness, as Corey did. It's important that we have a relationship with God. Prayer and forgiveness go together. Now, it's hard to think that someone who did something so horrible could or should ever be forgiven. We can be angry and hurt when people are treated poorly, when people are harmed or murdered. It's okay. God is angry and hurt too. Forgive them. It's not easy. But it is important to remember that forgiveness is not condoning the behavior. You've heard it said, I'm sure, love the sinner, hate the sin. You see, we can't control what other people do or don't do. We can't control what other people say or don't say. The only thing that we can control is how we wish to respond. The past can't be changed, but the future can be. No one can take away our peace unless we want them to, unless we allow them to. Friends, forgiveness benefits the giver just as much as the receiver. So how wonderful would it be to extend forgiveness whether the person is asked for it or not? Forgive them, even if they're not sorry. You see, it's about giving up our hatred. It's about giving up and letting go of our bitterness. When we forgive, the terrible memories and those feelings, well, they just gradually diminish, and we can move forward in our lives. We'll know when we've reached that total forgiveness when we're able to ask for God to bless those who have hurt us so deeply. Forgiveness is truly from the heart, and it's unconditional, and it's without limit. Ephesians 4:32 reads, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." We forgive because we've been forgiven by God. The Holy Spirit motivates and prompts us to forgive. Forgiveness allows our heart to be unshackled and set free. We all make mistakes. I know I sure do. God wants to remind us that we humans, we aren't perfect. None of us are above another. It's important to forgive, no matter how badly someone hurts us. A story that's really helped me realize just how vital it is that we learn to forgive the bad and hold on to the good things that people do, is this. Two friends were walking through the desert. During some point of the journey, they had an argument, and one friend slapped the other person across the face. The one that got slapped was hurt, and without saying anything, wrote in the sand, "Today, my best friend slapped me in the face." Well, they kept walking until they found an oasis. There they decided to take a bath. The one who had been slapped got stuck in the mud, started to drown. But his friend saved him. After he recovered from the near drowning, he wrote on a stone, "Today, my best friend saved my life." Well, the friend who had slapped his best friend and had saved his best friend's life asked him, "After I hurt you, you wrote in the sand, and now you have written on stone. Why?" And the friend replied, "When someone hurts us, we should write it down in sand, where the winds of forgiveness can erase it. But when someone does something good for us, engrave it in stone, where no wind can ever erase it. Write your hurts in sand. Carve your blessings in stone." You know what? This is the way it is. We can get stuck and we can stay stuck. We can stay angry, we can stay hurt, or we can begin to heal. We can begin to move forward. We can keep our minds on our loving relationship with God, knowing and trusting in what is good. In the last phase of his life, dying on the cross, Jesus prayed. He prayed for all of us who are responsible for putting him there. Jesus said, "Forgive them." Let us be like Christ and forgive them. Thanks be to God.